Hi Helen, lovely to have you here this morning. So we're just going to start the way we always do and ask what brought you to Island Baptist.
It says in the thing you sent me, what attracted you to Island Baptist?
What attracted
Mike
you?
Mike Sturgeon.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was he going to Island before you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had met through TSCF and...
What is TSCF?
Oh, Tertiary Students Christian Fellowship. And so met at the national conferences and then we did, both did an internship with them. And I ended up, I was living in Palmerston North at the time and we... started going out, being boyfriend and girlfriend, sort of mid-year, and it was actually sort of about this time, in 1998.
In a cold winter in Palmerston.
It was we're at Waikanae, our rancho, and I remember the World Cup was on. World Cup football was on. France won that year.
Yeah.
So watched lots of football, and. silly, but anyway, at the end of the year, we wanted to live in the same place and sort of. Palmerston North didn't really appeal, and so I decided to come down here, and Mike was kind of like, I love Island, and I'm really, really happy here, but obviously if you would like to, if we need to look for a place together, that's cool, but come and see what you're thinking. And I remember what I was wearing the first Sunday I came, and I remember Alistair talking to me at the end of the service, and I'd been in a really Pentecostal church before that, and I had and I'd sort of been starting to be really frustrated with church and feeling like it wasn't meeting, I wasn't able to connect with the deep spaces of me. I couldn't find God there, and I remember I would hike from church and I'd listen to Van Morrison and read Henry Nouwen and sort of be like, that's far more connecting to my deep spaces than going to church and yelling at God for a bit. And so I remember coming to Island and being like, oh, it's a place that I could find myself, a place that I could find God, and a place that I could be in the deepest parts of me and meet God there.
So great. And you're still here all these years later.
So, 1998.
What's your X Factor talent?
I have very little talent, but I can make a banana into a penguin.
What does that look like?
Looks like a penguin.
Of course.
Banana, penguin.
Is that with the skin and the inside of the banana?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's my party trick.
I've never seen that party trick, so that's that will be something to look forward to. I know you've read quite a bit of Frederick Buechner, so you're familiar with his definition of vocation, the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. What does that look like for you?
I haven't actually read a lot of Frederick Buechner. I've read just a little bit, but I think for me, I sort of say sometimes that I finally figured out what I wanted to do when I grew up, when I was 40. And I trained as a teacher, and I hated it while I was training. I kind of applied on the sort of second to last day that you could apply to do it because I didn't know what else to do. And
Secondary or primary?
Primary. Hated it every year that I was there studying. Had a part-time job the first year because I was doing this internship, and I taught secondary school art, and I taught the alternative art classes, so for the kids who didn't want to do art as a subject, but just were sort of filling space for a lot of them until they could leave, or just doing an easy subject option.
That would have been challenging.
Yeah. And then I came down to here, came down to Christchurch, and... kind of half-heartedly looked for a job, and then had a bit of a huge crisis mid-year looking for the job that I was, the same week I was offered a job, and then it got taken off me because they thought I was a more experienced teacher and they didn't realise I was a beginning teacher. So there was a and the school only employed registered more experienced teachers, and so I sort of got a job and then lost a job in that same week. In the same week, two of our good friends were killed in a car accident. It was this week, an awesome week in the worst possible way. Mm. And after that, I started volunteering at Delta. So I don't want to be a teacher, and I might as well admit it. Mm. And I started volunteering at Delta, and then slowly sort of worked into a job, a paid space there. And I was teaching, ironically, sort of a life skills course for adults, mm-hmm. and I was involved as a community pastor there. But I sort of felt like hadn't really had a career or a sense of this is my space in the world until I was 40. And so, yeah, I worked at Hans Craft Shop for a little while. And then we had the girls, had twins, and so I was a stay-at-home mum for quite a few years. And mm-hmm. Finding this, being involved in pastoral care and kind of connecting with people and being present with people and wherever they are in their life and space, and especially where they are with God, I found a place that I really love to be. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when I was 40, I found out what I wanted to be.
So 40 was when you...
Well, it sort of was around the time. It's sort of, you know, never let the facts get in the way of a good story. Kind of, it was around the time that I sort of felt like I had a sense of call from God that this was a space to kind of inhabit and work towards. And it was, you know, it was after Rod had left Ilam, and they were sort of paying me to kind of oversee the pastoral care, and it kind of became a bit of a bigger space than that. And I was sort of sense of loving being connected with lots of different parts of church life, and so it was a growing sense of call. And then the opportunity from Ilam came to be able to work in that space and to do some study and to feel like I could be meeting and connecting with people.
Mm. Mm. So your sense of vocation has grown and developed rather than been something you've been aware of your whole life?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. Do you practice any particular spiritual disciplines?
Yes. Some, but so some things that are really important to me is trying to go on a retreat each year, and so to have some space in silence and in quiet. And I try to practice sort of solitude and quiet prayer through the weeks, and sometimes that gets eaten up with life, but I find that a soul restoring space and a space where I kind of centre myself in God and are able to, when I'm at my best, I'm living out of that space.
Hmm.
I love to read. I love to I'm not very good at reading the Bible. I like reading the Bible through other people's lenses. I find when I love reading the Gospels,
mm-hmm.
but I find I can get quite angry with Paul. But when I read or think about how someone else is thinking about Paul, it kind of gives me a way into connecting with him rather than just his very long sentences. And yeah, I don't think Paul and I are kindred spirits.
Okay. Yep, it's just the long sentences that's the problem.
The long sentences, it's the reasonably anti-woman misogynistic bias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the... Oh, gosh. it's the finding... He seems to be so willing to give up comfort for God, and I find that so hard to do.
Mm. Yes. Yes, you like to be thrown out of ships onto rocky beaches and spend time in jail cells. Yeah. And
beatings, I count it all joy kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
So, Paul, maybe not your hero, but do you have any particular heroes or heroines?
Yes. Biblical heroines, women from the Bible. I love Mary Magdalene. Love that God saw her and she became the voice of Jesus' resurrection, and that in a world that didn't count her voice as anything or value her voice, God chose her to meet Jesus first after he rose and sent her to tell people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's awesome. In other voices, I think Henry Nguyen is my hero. I feel like a sort of spiritual companion, his books mm-hmm. are to me. And for me, it's his honesty, his vulnerability, his flaws, and his willingness to let his flaws be a gift for people.
Mm.
I think has made a way for me to be fully myself
mm-hmm.
and know that I am fully loved by God.
Mm.
Yeah. So my next question was around, do you have any recommendations for Ilam in the way of books or movies, apps? But I'm guessing you might recommend some of Nguyen's books.
I do think everyone should read Life of the Beloved. And I guess that flicks a little bit back into the vocation question for me, is that that sense, knowing that I am beloved of God, knowing that when God looks at me, God says, this is my daughter, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. And that's how God looks at you, and that's how God looks at each of us.
Mm.
And I think that is what I would like to hold a mirror up to people, to offer to people.
Mm.
So I think everyone should read Life of the Beloved, obviously. Jesus Feminist by Sarah Bessie has been one of my favourite books, and mm-hmm. I probably have bought far too many of them, and I still haven't got one in my house at the moment, because I do really like giving that to people. I love spiritual memoirs. I love people's stories of their life and their journeys of faith. So I have a lot of them and mm-hmm. many recommendations. And,
mm-hmm.
There's a woman, Enuma Okoro, who wrote, I think you lent me that book, maybe to start with. Was it Restless Pilgrim?
Not me.
So she's awesome. Rachel Held Evans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Podcasts, I'm really enjoying. So Jen Hatmaker does a podcast, and some of them I find a little... I haven't enjoyed so much, but she's done this wee series of, it's called For the Love of Exploring Our Faith,
mm-hmm.
and I have just loved it. So she's interviewed a whole lot of different people with different kind of ways of thinking about faith, I think it's an awesome series.
Yep, I'm with you there.
Yep. Yeah.
Fantastic. What gift do you think you bring to the Ilam community?
Well, maybe it was what I said before. I think my hope would be that, and I know people tease me a little bit for saying you are loved and you are wanted far too much, and there is always a place for you in God's family, but I think that for people to hear those words in their deepest spaces and know them to be true are really powerful.
Mm.
For people to know that regardless of what they do or how they are in this world, that they are loved, deeply, deeply loved by God.
Mm.
And that God looks at them with a gaze rather than a glare. My supervisor talks about that, and I think if I could, at my, you know, that's what I'd love to be for people to know.
Have you ever done any personality quizzes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm a junkie. I did for randomly in the English class when I was sixth form. We did Myers-Briggs,
mm-hmm.
and I think it saved my life because I came out really strongly ENFP,
mm-hmm.
and I am in a family of ISTJs
mm-hmm.
and very strong eyes and. Very strong the other parts, and because I thought to be a Christian, to be an adult, I couldn't be that as I was. I needed a personality transplant
mm-hmm.
and so when I did Myers-Briggs that first time, and I went, I'm just different. Mm-hmm. I'm just wired really differently. No wonder they don't understand me. Mm-hmm. And no wonder I feel like I have to change everything about me to be what they think a Christian should be, or an mm-hmm. adult should be, or a mature person should mm-hmm. be, or a growing person should be. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was transformative. And yeah, and I think in a really helpful way. And I've been discovering Enneagram and thinking about Enneagram stuff, and I had thought that I was a particular number, and I've been exploring with my spiritual director, and I did an Enneagram weekend a few weeks ago, and thinking that maybe I'm a different number, but that sort of links to that one bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm still just beginning a journey of discovering that.
Mm. Yeah. So you'd recommend both of those to other people?
Yeah. I mean, I guess some people, they can be helpful with a tool that can be helpful rather than something to completely define yourself by. And I don't want to be in conversations where you go, oh, that's such a four thing to do. Mm. You know, I don't want to be doing that. But Mike and I did the Enneagram weekend together, and it was mm-hmm. really funny to sort of understand him a bit more too.
Mm-hmm. Was it helpful?
Yeah, really helpful.
Mm. The Bible tells us that one day there's going to be a new creation and a new earth. Mm. What are you most looking forward to when you get there?
I guess, I mean, I say this quite often in church, though. We, our first child, our first son, our only son, was stillborn. And my spiritual director at the time gave me these just little pencil sketches of Jesus holding a baby. And the first one, he was sort of holding the baby up on his shoulder. And he, and so for a long time, I imagined, a silly image, imagine Jesus in heaven directing traffic or whatever he was doing, but with William sort of tucked into his shoulder and the crook of his neck. And then there's, it was a series of little four little sketches, and the next one was Jesus sort of holding a baby up above his head and sort of laughing with it, and then Jesus holding a wee toddler as they learnt to walk. Mm-hmm. And then the last one was Jesus sort of kind of play fighting with a group of wee boys, a group mm-hmm. of kids, and they were sort of tickling and rough and tumbling together. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the image of William growing up in heaven has been really strong and in my head. And so I imagine, for me, my hope in heaven is to see William, to mother him somehow, but to to be connected with what was lost, and for healing and wholeness in that space for me, but for everyone to experience that in whatever ways that looks like.
Yes, yeah. That will be special.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Jen Hatmaker, so you will have heard her interview Barbara Brown Taylor recently.
Yeah.
And she has a question. What's saving your life right now?
Yeah, I think podcasts. I love podcasts. So there's this group of guys called Crooked Media is their title, and they are some of President Obama's old speech writers and one of his national security advisors. And so there's a group of four guys that have set up this media company, and they do these different podcasts, sort of Pod Save America. And there's one guy, John Lovett, who does a kind of stand-up comedy show, recorded show about politics. And I love listening to podcasts in the car when I'm driving somewhere, because it makes me less distracted about getting, if I'm kind of rush places, I get yeah. And I love listening to podcasts when I'm cooking tea, because I'm out in a cold kitchen kind of by myself cooking tea, and so I play it really, really loud. Mm-hmm. They swear a lot, they're sarcastic, they're they hate Trump. And much as I want everyone to connect with being beloved, I find that Trump so hard.
Yep.
And I do. So I love podcasts. So those, and then the liturgists, Jen Hatmaker, and I love listening to podcasts.
Fantastic. Thanks for talking to us today, Helen.
It's fun.